Well, good morning. Hope that everybody's having a great week. And, you know, spring is here. So, and Memorial is almost here. So, you know, get your flowers inside because they're going to freeze. All right. It's going to be cold this week, right? Well, so we've been talking about truth over trend and how, you know, truth oversees culture. And we are in a culture right now, and it's been labeled the argument culture. Does that make sense? Do you see how we call it the argument culture? And one of the most complex truths of communication is our perception of people. And events determine our reality. Once created, our perception is pretty hard to change, isn't it? Once we get a perception of something, or once we get an idea of something, it's hard to change. So our perception is really influenced by stereotypes, by different types of people. You'll want in acting, one of the big concerns for an actor is that they get placed in a role and then they can't get other roles because they've been stereotyped in a specific role. So while stereotypes aren't necessarily inherently false or even bad necessarily, in today's argument culture, they often cast people or entire groups in a negative light. Stereotypes can be fostered by meeting a person from a particular group and then expecting all people from that group to have the same convictions or beliefs or act the same way or whatever. We're living in an argument culture. And in that argument culture, and we're talking about cultures, everything is an argument, isn't it? So stereotypes can be developed by what we read about groups or gleaned from the internet, you know, internet being pretty popular these days. So I'm going to read off a list of words here. And what I want you to do is you don't have to write it down, but just think, what is the first thing that comes to mind? Okay. What is the first thing that comes to your mind when I read these off? Okay. Trump supporter, Black Lives Matter, Democrat, feminist, critical race theory, Republican, Planned Parenthood, evangelical, anti-mask advocate, Biden supporter. Now just think about those for just a second. We'll give you a second to do that. Okay, were you surprised by how quickly you came up with a word for each one of those things? The first word that popped into your mind, the first thought that popped into your mind for each one of those things, were you surprised by that? And if so, what prompted your impression of that? What gave you that impression of that? Would it surprise you that there are people in this room that did not have the same impression that you did on each one of those words? Would that surprise you? Here we're a pretty collective group of people. You know, we kind of have some of the same thoughts, the same ideas. So would it surprise you? Now, the question is, what do you do with that? That not everybody had the same impression. What do we do with that? As a church, as a body of believers, as a local body of believers, what do we do with that? There's a different viewpoint on things that other people in this group, in this room, have a different viewpoint on things that we may hold dear, that I may hold dear to me. Somebody else may not hold that quite as dear. Okay? It's like when you go and, you know, you go to the thrift store and you find something. You go, okay, this is really good. It's like, well, obviously they value this more than I do because I'm not paying this much for it. Okay? It's kind of that idea that, you know, sometimes your viewpoint is going to be different than my viewpoint. We're living right now in that argument culture where everything is an argument. If you turn on your TV, you turn on the news, the network news stations, what do you see? You do not find the news there anymore, do you? What you find is debate. You have one side saying this is right. You have another side saying this is right. And the other side saying, well, you're wrong. And the other side saying, well, you're wrong. It's an argument culture. You're either for or against, and there's really no middle ground. There's no trying to find a middle ground. So everything is an argument. You're either right and they're wrong, okay? And there's no possibility for me being wrong. That's the argument culture. And we're very vocal about that. We see that very loud and clear whenever you get on social media, that we are in an argument culture. But we as believers, as the church in this local body of believers, need to navigate through this culture. And we need to navigate through this culture with what? With truth. What is truth? And we need to navigate through this culture in harmony as a body here. We need to navigate through it in harmony. And it's not just with what the world, which we know have different ideas, but more importantly, how do we navigate with each other, which we know we have differing views? How do we navigate with one another and still maintain harmony? Our relationships with others, it has reactions. Whether good reactions or a bad reaction depends on our actions. We cannot live a good life. We cannot be zealous for what is good unless our relationship with one another is one of love and unity. First and foremost, in our body, in our local body, we need to have that unity. We need to have that love. Our actions are even more in harmony of the church. You know, we have actions. So we need to live in harmony with one another throughout this argument culture. Harmony is a situation in which there's a friendly agreement or accord. Okay, a pleasing combination of musical, this is the definition of harmony, a pleasing combination of musical sounds, a combination of notes that are sung or played at the same time. So when you think of harmony, what do you think of sometimes? You think of like a choir or a group of singers who are singing in harmony. So when a choir sings, there's harmony among the voices. When one singer is off, it can throw the entire group out of whack, can't it? As they key on each other. And then all of a sudden, it's like, ooh, that didn't sound so good. That didn't sound so good. Well, sometimes if those singers are strong enough around that one that is off, that person can be drowned out. However, they're still there and they're not in harmony with those around them. So the choir is of one voice and they sing as one voice in harmony. And even though there are vocal differences, okay, not everyone sings the same. In fact, that's what makes it harmony, is that not everybody sings the same. You know, typically with an instrument, you know, a person plays the instrument, typically that instrument is going to sound the same. But when it comes to voices, people have unique voices. You know, some people can sound like Elvis Presley, all right? And then when they dress up like Elvis Presley, they can go and be an Elvis Presley impersonator, okay? Or name your artist. They can sound like them, but they don't sound exactly like them. If you were to take and not analyze those voices, what would you find? You would find a difference, a variable difference in those voices. So our idea as a body of believers is that we are different people. We have different voices, not that we're all singing, but we have different voices. We have different viewpoints. And those viewpoints aren't necessarily all wrong, are they? They're just a different viewpoint. So we're going to look at today, and if you have your Bibles and you want to turn to 1 Peter chapter 3, we're going to look at what does it look like for us as a local body to be of one mind, for us as a local body to be in harmony in this argument culture. And how do we navigate through that? So I'll give you a minute. 1 Peter 3:8. First Peter 3:8, to sum up, all of you, be harmonious, sympathetic, brotherly, kind-hearted, and humble in spirit. Live in harmony with one another. The word literally means unity. You know, we hear a lot about that, and especially lately, in the last year, we've heard a lot about the unity of the church and how, you know, we as a body of believers need to stay unified. Well, that's that harmony. Live in unity with each other. God has called us as children of God, as believers, to live in harmony and unity with one another. We're to continually to grow in unity with one another, and we are to painstakingly preserve that unity. We are to work hard in preserving that unity. What does it take? And you know, we could do weeks and weeks of workshops as to how do we maintain that unity. And that's not bad necessarily. Okay, because there are ways that a group of people can maintain unity and learn how to be unified in that. But he's called us to be painstakingly to preserve our unity. Ephesians 4:3 says, being diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Being diligent to preserve the unity. And we're told we're to do this with the bond that is one of peace. Preserving that unity in peace. Okay? When you think of the word peace, what do you think of? You think of calmness, don't you? You think of calmness. And that's the idea, is, you know, preserving that in calmness. Verse 2 in Ephesians says, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, showing tolerance for one another in love. So we're to be diligent in this harmony with humility. With humility. That idea that, you know, considering others and how they feel, knowing that it's only through Christ that we can have that harmony. You know, realizing that it's not all just about me. You know, that my viewpoint may not be the viewpoint of everybody else. And secondly, my viewpoint may not be the right viewpoint. You know, am I humble enough to say, okay, maybe I am wrong in this. Maybe I do need to rethink, how I feel about a certain topic or about a certain thing. So we're to be diligent in harmony with gentleness, being kind to one another, even when our viewpoints do differ. Can we be kind to one another? One of the things that we see in this argument culture is that kindness has gone out the door, hasn't it? Watch those interviews. I'm not recommending that you get on there and start watching those interviews, but watch when the senators and the congressmen and the politicians start talking to each other and about each other. It is brutal. It is absolutely brutal out there. Kindness has gone out the door. Well, even within the church, there are certain topics that kindness has gone out the door. And that's not right. That's not how what we are called as believers to be is unkind. But we're to be gentle, even when our viewpoint differs. We're also to be patient. Okay? Do you get impatient with people who don't see it the way that you do? You can nod your head. That's okay. Okay? Unless you don't, then you get impatient with people who don't see it the way you do. Because why is that? Because it makes such sense the way I see things, right? Well, that happens, okay? And I think that's in all of us, a little part of all of us. Like, you don't see it the way I see it, well, that's your bad, right? So we need to be patient with those. We need to, I don't agree with you, so I'm just going to leave. You know, why can't they just look at it the way I do? You know, instead, what do? We get upset and it's like, fine, they don't see it the way I do. I'm just going to leave. I'm not going to have it. I'm going to take my ball and I'm going to go home. OK, if you're impatient, you're assuming that you're right. Right. You're assuming that you're right and that, you know, and there's nothing you have in common with that person. You know, how do we find that commonality that we have in people? Because everybody has something in common, right? Usually. I'm not going to say that all the time, but usually they have something in common. Well, we're also supposed to be tolerant. You know, personally, I think that minivans were the greatest vehicle ever put on the road. Okay? And I dare anybody to argue that point. All right? They can go anywhere. You want to go up on the Mine Hill and go, you know, on the Mine Hill tour or take an off-roading trip, jump in your minivan. It will go there, okay? And yet I know that some of you like Suburbans, all right? Or you may like a pickup truck. That's okay, you know. A Suburban, it's a passenger vehicle, a pickup truck. They can go anywhere and haul stuff, and they're manly and they sound cool. Well, my minivan can haul things, okay? You put the seats down, all right? You can throw stuff in there. They can haul anything. You may not want a bale of hay in there, but, you know, it can haul anything. But I get it. I get it. And I am tolerant, all right? I have a minivan, I have a Suburban, and I have a pickup truck, okay? I'm fitting in with all of you, all right? But we are to be tolerant. And if we're not being tolerant, you know, if we're not being humble, if we're not being gentle and tolerant, we're not loving one another. And if we have to be right and make everyone agree with us, we're not being diligent to preserve the unity. We're not being diligent to preserve that harmony. You know, if there's disharmony and disunity in a church, you know, there's sin, and sin is present. And the solution is not organizational. It's not about trying to organize ourselves to all think the same. It isn't about being in perfect agreement to everything. But it's how do we stay in harmony with each other in this argument culture? Okay, how do we do that? You know, finding that commonality, finding that the areas that we agree on, and being able to have a civil conversation in the areas that we may not agree on. Well, we need to have compassion on one another. Back to 1 Peter 3:8. To sum up, all of you being harmonious, sympathetic, brotherly, kind-hearted, and humble in spirit, sympathetic to each other. You know, are there hurting people in our body here, in our family, people who need our compassion? Okay, not our viewpoint. You know, very few people need my viewpoint on politics or you know, current events. They don't need my viewpoint. They need my compassion. They need our compassion. We should be able to share, you know, our needs and our hurts with each other and bear one another's burdens. Galatians 6:2, bear one another's burdens and thereby fulfill the law of Christ. Be compassionate toward one another, bearing one another's burdens. By doing this, you fulfill the law of Christ, which is love. Okay, John 13:34, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, even as I have loved you, that you also love one another. So to love one another, just as Jesus loved us unconditionally. We love each other unconditionally. And even if they don't perfectly agree with me, we still love one another. You know, we still need to love one another. And genuinely, do you truly love those, you know, sitting around you who have different viewpoints? Love each other as brothers and sisters. Back to 3:8. To sum up all, you be harmonious, sympathetic, brotherly, kind-hearted, and humble in spirit. Another version of this in the ESV says, finally, all of you have unity of mind, sympathy, brotherly love, a tender heart, and a humble mind. Brotherly, the idea is to have, you know, a brotherly love toward each other. And to love as a brothers and sisters love. The Greek word there for brotherly is Philadelphos. Okay, and that's where the city of Philadelphia gets its Philadelphia, okay, because they are known as the city of brotherly love, right? Okay, makes sense. Okay, put all that together, city of brotherly love. That's why the city is called that, the city of brotherly love, which is why their cheesesteak hoagies are so fabulous, okay? There is a reason for that, okay, because they care for each other and they want each other to have great Philly cheesesteak sandwiches. Philadelphia, brotherly love. Well, Peter's using this word for love that is associated with family. It's not agape love, okay, that we know about, the agape love. That's the love that God has for us, that unconditional love. So he's not saying it's agape love. That love is unconditional, but it's an internal love more associated with with how we are to love each other. Okay, how we are, that Philadelphos, that the brotherly love is how we are to love one another, like Jesus unconditionally. So Philadelphia is more associated with the love that we have for family. It's the way that we are to love. So agape is how we are to love unconditionally, okay? The brotherly love is the way that we are to love. It's more of a visible type of love, okay? Because of that unconditional love that we have, comes out as a brotherly love toward one another. It's a more visible type of love, so that the love that we have for one another should be more visible, which is manifested from that agape unconditional love. Okay, follow that? It's a devotion that we have for one another, that brotherly love, a devotion, a commitment that we have for one another. It's kind of that camaraderie thing. If you've ever been in the military, the camaraderie that you have with people, with other people that you serve with in an area, is really tight. Where years later, you still try to stay in contact with these people, and you have a relationship that you leave, you know, that you can start up a conversation with because of that camaraderie. It's a devotion that we have for one another. Romans 12:10 says, be devoted to one another in brotherly love, give preference to one another in honor. And, you know, and so that brotherly love, it's done with honor, not begrudgingly, but with respect, because we actually what? We actually care for one another. We actually love one another. Our love for each other should be out of a lifestyle as a body of believers. Hebrews 13:1 says, let love of the brethren continue. It should bring us great joy, you know, like a family reunion. Every we come together, you know, we should have a potluck every week, right? Yeah, I'd agree with that. A potluck every week. But have that, you know, it's that we come together like a family reunion. We should be excited to see one another. Also, you know, being tenderhearted toward one another. That harmony that we have. Navigating through the argument culture is that we be tenderhearted toward one another. Back to 3:8, to sum up all of you, be harmonious, sympathetic, brotherly, kind-hearted, and humble in spirit. So to be kind to one another, to take pity on each other. Do you see a common theme here? It's how we're treating each other, how we are externally treating each other, and how these things, okay, they strengthen the harmony that we have with one another. They strengthen the unity that we have with one another. Our hearts need to be concerned with the things that concern the Lord. You know, be kind to one another, tenderhearted, Ephesians 4:32. Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ also has forgiven you. You know, the Lord is concerned with our relationship with Him. He is concerned with that. So He's forgiven us that we can have so that we can have fellowship with Him. Well, kindness and tenderhearted includes that act of forgiving each other. Forgiving each other, so that we can continue to have relationship with one another as well. Well, we also, to strengthen that harmony, being courteous to each other. 1 Peter 3:8 again, to sum up all, you be harmonious, sympathetic, brotherly, kind-hearted, and humble in spirit. You know, and this is more than just being polite, okay? You know, the idea is like, well, they're such a courteous person because they say please and thank you and may I and all that, okay? But it's more than just being polite. It is the things that we say to one another. It is the idea of being friendly, having a kind, friendly mindset with each other, you know, being courteous in our attitude. We're not just to love those around us, but we're also to show our love by being kind and courteous and caring to everyone. And that same courteousness we would show to a dear friend is that same courteousness we want to show to one another. It's the same courteousness we want to show in our community. It must begin with a courteous and kind attitude. It strengthens that harmony. Not willing to go in a direction that can seem easier. You know, sometimes it is easier not to be courteous, isn't it? Sometimes I just, you know what? When I order something, I want it to be the way that I wanted it to be in the first place, okay? Take it back. Well, there's no reason not to be courteous. You know, we can be courteous in these things. The argument culture says that you are right. Okay, that there's no compromise. There's no other option than my option. There's no other viewpoint. There's no commonality. And in those moments, you know, when you know we're filled with that those thoughts, you know, that's when we really want to step back and say, okay, is this being harmonious? Am I building harmony? Am I building harmony? Am I building unity? You know, you want to be right and make it known that you're right. And we can say and do unkind things in our responses to that. And yet our response is to be a blessing, isn't it? It's to be a blessing to those that have a different viewpoint even. We want to be a blessing to each other and to all those around us. 1 Peter 3:9 says, not returning evil for evil or insult for insult, but giving a blessing instead. For you were called for the very purpose that you might inherit a blessing. Verse 10 and 11. The one who desires life to love and see good days must keep his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. He must turn away from evil and do good. He must seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are toward the righteous and his ears attend to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. Courteousness. Do you want to have unity in the body? Do we want to have, I think everybody would say, absolutely, we do. We want to have that unity. We want to be of the same mind, the mind of Christ. And yet we're going to have differences. But then we need to be a blessing even outside of these walls. Even outside of these walls, we want to be a blessing. And to those that live in our community, to those who may not like us simply because we are in Christ. Many aren't going to like you because you are in Christ. Those who have a different look at things. Those who have a different viewpoint. And we can, within this body, be of one mind, compassionate toward each other, have love for one another, be tender-hearted, be courteous. But if the outside community, you know, we may not be a blessing out there. Our unity within this body can be hurt if we're not a blessing out in our community. Okay? We need to be a blessing out there as well. We live in a world in which we're often confronted with that argument culture. In fact, we're more than just confronted. We get pulled into that. We get pulled into that argument culture. And our natural response is to treat those who treat us wrong, wrongly. You know, when you get in a conversation with somebody, you know, instantly my argument culture wants to kick in. And I want to argue with them. I want to debate them to show them how right I am and how wrong they are. The New English Translation puts it this way: do not repay wrong with wrong or abuse with abuse. On the contrary, retaliate with blessing. Retaliate with, I like that word, retaliate with blessing. The picture in my mind here is all of us dressed in this camouflage, infiltrating the community with a reconnaissance team. Okay? You got that? Got that in your head now? You know, facing this community as a reconnaissance, okay? So we're reminded here that as believers in Christ, we should not return evil for evil. But we should bless them. We should retaliate with blessing. We should bring blessing to those around us. And we should do good to those who are around us. We're called to be a blessing to those around us. You know, and what an amazing ministry that is that God has given to us. Do you know what a joy it is to be a blessing to those around you? There's a joy in it. Is it hard work? It is, isn't it? It's sometimes hard work to be a blessing in the community because it actually causes us to do something, right? And so it can be hard work. We should be on an offensive in bringing blessing, okay? We should be on the offensive of doing that. So when we bring blessing to others, we're blessed ourselves, aren't we? And the goodness of God is a blessing to all. We are blessed because we have joy in doing that. We have joy in you know, saying, you know what, maybe this small kind act will show somebody the love of Christ through me. It's a wonderful way to live in Christ. For the one who desires life to love, see good days, but keep his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit, he must turn away from evil and do good. He must seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are toward the righteous and his ears attend to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, it was on our Savior's heart that we as believers be unified. When he prayed in the garden that we would be unified, that we would be one just as you and as he and the Father were one, Lord. That we would live in harmony with each other. Because he knew that when people would come together, they would have differences. They would have different viewpoints. They had different ideas on different things. And yet he wanted us to stay unified. He wanted us to be in harmony. He wanted us to be in harmony even in this argument culture. Lord, I just pray for us that we would continue that unity, that we would continue to be in that harmony that we are in, Lord. And that you would just build that stronger and stronger every day for us. That we could show a world that is so desperate in need of you, that we could show them the love of Christ in our unity. And we thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen.